What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to or watching, as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We are not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about our motivations. Are we doing things to be seen of men? What's up? I hope it is a good topic. I hope I say something that challenges us and edifies us, because I think about this a lot, and there's things that I don't put online because of conscience sake. I just feel real weird about it. I think, we'll go to Proverbs here. I read this all the time, and this really kind of stuck with me, and it steps on my toes, quite frankly. I'm just going to read the first few verses here, down through verse 8. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." The idea, hello, Sword and Pearls, good to see you. The idea behind this passage of Scripture, without digging deep into it, which you can preach a good sermon right from this Scripture and start at the top and let it cascade down. And the thrust is, if you are constantly doing things for the motivation of others, for outside motivation, you have no internal motivation. There's nothing to you. You're constantly going to be trying to fill that void with something that's never designed to fill the void. And you're going to be like that little bitty baby bird who is not content to wait for the mother to bring back its sustenance. So it wanders and it will fall out of the nest and it will die on impact once it hits the forest floor. Or it will die because it will succumb to the elements, or quite frankly, a predator would come along and devour it. And so that's why we need to make sure that we're doing things and acting for the proper motivation. I don't want to be seen of men. I don't want to have my reward of man. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to, the bulk of what we're going to talk about is going to be from the Sermon on the Mount, specifically in Matthew chapter 6. Hello, Terry Crooks. Good morning to you. Now, there certainly is a certain amount of allure to being quote-unquote Facebook famous or YouTube famous or whatever. It is nice. My good buddy Aaron Dotson, he saw somebody in a hotel, and they recognized him and said, "Hey, we watch y'all's show, yours and Tony's, and we really appreciate it. Y'all put out some good information. We like the show." Well, that's a big deal, and that's nice. You know, that's not why we do this. We do it, first off, hopefully, because it needs to be done. It's a job of work that needs to be done. We need to, you know what I think about social media. I think social media, despite the very good people that are on it trying to make a difference, it's still a net negative. Now, does that mean that I think that everybody that's on social media that's trying to make it a better place should stop? Well, God forbid, because then think about how bad it would be. That's like television. Well, television is bad, so we need to kick off all of the Christians off television. Well, no, then think about how bad television would be. The radio's bad, so Christians don't need to be on the radio. Well, no. The radio is bad. It can be used for badness, but think about how bad it would be if you got all the righteous people off of it. Same way with social media. I'm not advocating a shutdown of social media or for Christians to come off of it, But what I am constantly struggling with, and I'm hoping since I am constantly struggling with it, that maybe you have the same struggle as well and we can help each other. That's the point of the podcast today. So social media is still a net negative, but if Christians don't operate on social media, think about how much worse it would be. Wayne Vaughn, let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Interestingly enough, I've never seen it, folks, but I have heard tell that at some congregations of the Lord's people, they have this particular scruple about this verse, and they'll have a blanket over the Lord's Supper implements, and instead of passing around a tray to give, there will be a tray underneath the Lord's Supper, the blanket covering the Lord's Supper implements, and the folks will come and they will put money into the tray that's under the blanket, and they'll say, we do that because the right hand doesn't need to know what the left hand is doing. It's interesting that they would take that far, because obviously that's not what that means. The right hand doesn't need to know what the left hand is doing, in that there needs to be a certain amount of your giving, your benevolence, that's spontaneous. Whenever we give to God, it needs to be purposed in our hearts. So it's the left hand will always know what the right hand is doing, because it's something that we purpose in our heart to do, you know, week after week or with whatever frequency that God blesses us. But if I'm traveling down the road, you know, I need to, if somebody's in need, I just need to just do it. And the idiomatic way of putting that is, your right hand doesn't need to know what your left hand's doing. Just do it. Don't make a big procession about it. If we stayed away from everything bad, we'd be hungry, naked, and alone. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I guess we could be like the Amish. But again, how much influence does the Amish people have in the world for Christ? They're disengaged from everything. You can't be disengaged from everything. In fact, talking about Hey Alabama's comment, if we stayed away from everything bad, we'd be hungry, naked, and alone. You know, we've got to go to work. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, I wrote before that you stay away from fornicators, but not altogether the fornicators of the world, because then you had to come out of the world. Obviously, I'm not quoting that. I'm just buying time until I get to 1 Corinthians 5 by flipping. All right, let me, verse 9 of chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one don't even eat. Well, so the idea there is, if I have a job and I go work, guess what? I'm going to be working with somebody who's a fornicator, an extortioner, a covetous person, a drunkard. But they're not in a covenant relationship with Christ. And inasmuch as they need to be in that covenant relationship with Christ, and they are amenable to the covenant, I don't have any control over them. So, I need to understand that their being in or out of Christ doesn't affect me. But we do need to understand that our good influence sometimes is the only Bible that anybody would ever see. So again, our motivations. Good to see everybody, incidentally, that's coming in. Sue Ross, good to see you. And I think Sue, you're the Danny Minter. Good to see you. Absolutely correct, brother. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, if I go to Walmart, I got to go to Walmart. A lot of little old towns, they may have a couple of mom and pops, but their main epicenter of commerce is going to be a Walmart that has clothes, electronics, hardware. It has groceries. And it also sells alcohol and some stuff like that that, quite frankly, Christians don't have any business buying. But what do? You know? Well, you gotta go do the business. Just go to the market and trade, and don't worry about all that other stuff. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:10 and Romans 16:17 are about brethren. Yeah, they are about brethren. All right, let me get over here to the show map, and we're going to walk through this. I've got some notes that we can look at that's going to kind of guide us through this conversation. I've talked about a little bit about the allure of social media. I'm going to tell you, it's nice to put something on social media and to have it, to have it take off, to have people like it and share it and stuff like that. It's good to get that feedback, but that shouldn't be why we're doing stuff. I think about some YouTube content creators. There is one fella named Mr. Beast. Hold on just a second. All right. So we've got this one YouTuber, Mr. Beast. He cracked the code on YouTube. He trained for 10,000 hours, and he became an expert. And if he puts a video out, that thing goes viral. He's probably the biggest YouTuber out there. And he recently come under fire because he did a lot of charitable stuff. For instance, he went to some third world countries and paid to have a bunch of wells dug, paid to have some doctors come in to do stuff, pay to have some surgeries to fix blind people's eyes. And he kind of come under scrutiny because people were saying, well, that's just performative and you're just doing that because. And his response was, well, dummies, yes, it's performative. I'm doing this because it makes good videos and it helps people. And the reason I'm documenting it and the reason I'm making videos out of it is because the videos earn money so stuff like that can be done. But he says, make no bones about it. I couldn't do this if I couldn't earn money off the back of it. And I kind of respect the man for that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a person doing that. Now, understand, he is getting his reward on earth. He's not laying up treasure in heaven because he is doing it out there for the public. But it's very utilitarian. And that's not sinful. That's not wrong. It's just that's not how you lay up treasure in heaven. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And let's read some stuff. First off, let's talk about the heart of giving. There's performative altruism on social media, and then there's genuine love and charity. So let's read the first four verses of Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Good deal. Sue Ross, wouldn't he also be laying up some treasure in heaven? Well, Sue Ross, Not Mr. Beast. I don't think Mr. Beast would be laying up treasure in heaven. Because one, he doesn't profess to be a Christian. And he's doing this charity in the name of being profitable. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not sinful in and of itself, but I would say that he's not laying up treasure in heaven. Now, if he were a Christian, so let's say Mr. Beast obeyed the gospel. He's a Christian. And, we got an interesting, repent, reject heresy, and come back to the only church, the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church is not, it may be Orthodox, but it's not scriptural. For one, the hierarchy is an abomination to God, just like the Catholic Church. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Sue Ross, well, not him in particular. Oh, yeah. So, come along and pretend with me. Let's pretend that I was a multi-gajillionaire, and I had this YouTube channel with 20 million, you know, across 4 or 5 channels, I've got 20, 30 million subscribers, and I go out and I do this big, huge benevolent act, and I make a video, and I get all kinds of money from the videos so I can put back more into my company so I can do more benevolent acts. That's not necessarily now that's not sinful, but that's not laying up treasure in heaven. You see, I can be motivated by the proper motivations, but that wouldn't necessarily be laying up treasure in heaven because I'm doing this for the purpose of being seen of men. Now, again, I'm not being sinful because it's a really good model because people like feel-good stories. People like seeing people who are downtrodden and disenfranchised. They like to see them helped out, and so that generates revenue. And then I turn that revenue where I pay myself a salary, pay my crew a salary, and then I have money left over to do more good deeds again. But I do them because I have this channel that I want to build up and I want people to follow, and that's the content that they like. But that's not laying up treasure in heaven. That's laying up treasure on earth. The treasure I lay up in heaven is the benevolence that I do behind the scenes. Now, that doesn't mean that people don't notice it, but I don't put a video camera on it. That's laying up treasure in heaven. It's impossible to please our Father in heaven unless we are all under the same doctrine. And Danny Minter says, by the way, Terrence laughed when I told him what you said about taking it easy on them boys. We had a good discussion about it. I thought you might. Oh, it's good stuff. All right. How much of Jesus' warning stems from the scribes and the Pharisees seeking the praise of men? I think 100% of it, Scott. The bloody elbowed Pharisees, they looked up all the time and they'd walk into stuff and their elbows would be so bloody from walking into stuff. At least that's what I heard. Sorry, I'm getting me some coffee. Oh man, folks, Canada does have good coffee. I'm just going to tell you, Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing God's will. His efforts were useless until he learned the truth about Christ. That's it. All right. So, again, if I'm only benevolent so I can put it on social media, or if my first thought is, hey, let me help that homeless man out so I can put it on social media, then I dare say we run the risk of running afoul of God's law. And we got to be careful because, like I said, it is very alluring to be popular on social media. So we need to give to the needy. We need to be benevolent, but we need to do it more for that inward motivation. So how can we practice generosity and kindness in a way that aligns with God's teaching without the need for social recognition? Well, that's a good question. I think we have to practice changing what motivates us. Does anyone else find it cringy when YouTubers film themselves at the grocery store to quote unquote bless someone, then film the people they are helping? I find it very, very cringy depending on how it's done. And this may be this actually may be a deficit on my part. I may explain this and y'all may be like, no, Tony, you need to do better. But if this is a YouTube personality and it's like a practical joke almost, but with a happy ending that everybody's in on, it's like, look, I know of some people, they were pointed out they're struggling and it is so much fun that everybody's in on it. And we're going to, these people once a month, they go and they spend $1,500 for their whole family for groceries. And we're just going to come and we're going to purchase everything in their cart. And we're going to film it because they're going to have a really good reaction. It's going to be fun. And it's like a practical joke that everybody's in on. Then I don't find that cringy at all. What I do find cringy is whenever they play it off as like a really emotional thing. It's like they play it off like they almost play it off like they're doing it impromptu. Like if I'm walking down the street and I see a homeless man, like, oh, look at that homeless man, I'm just going to go over there and help him. And then I pull out $10,000 in an envelope. Well, if I'm playing that off like that was just a random thing, then that's cringy to me. Like, it's very cringy. But I guess if they're not hiding the ball, if they're saying, look, we're doing this for content because folks like these feel-good stories, that doesn't bother me. I don't find that as cringy. I don't find that cringy at all. But if it's being done like they're virtue signaling, like, look at how good a person I am for doing this. And I'll tell you this, I'll defend Mr. Beast. I'll die on this hill. He never did say, look at how good I am for doing this. He was saying, look, this is a good deed to be done, and I'm happy that I've been blessed with the ability to do it and make money off of it, and so I can repeat it. But he wasn't trying to get any social clout whatsoever. He didn't come across if he was trying to get any social clout. So anyway, that's my two cents. And y'all may disagree. Y'all may say, well, Tony, we don't like that at all. But again, it really depends for me, the attitude of the person doing the giving. If you're recording it. Now, if you record it and it's good content and you're putting it out there for good content, that doesn't bother me so much as if you're recording it like it's something that you just happen to be recording and this happened. No, that's fake. I don't like that. I used to watch those same videos and think how great that person was. Then I thought, why aren't you doing it in secret? Yeah, so, and to be clear, the one or two people that I'm thinking about, the reason they're not doing it in secret, it's because those kind of videos YouTube pays well for, and that means that they can go do this. Like in other words, if they were able to grow their channel and get views and interaction and money by doing another thing, that's what they would be doing. Like they're YouTubers, and this niche and this genre gets money, and so they're being transparent. They're leaning into it. But if you're going to be doing this as to show how virtuous you are and you're filming it so other people can see how virtuous you are, then you're not virtuous at all. And you're cringy. I don't like it. It makes me feel icky. We must definitely work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And Scott Beck says, I guess it was the whole pay it forward movement that had someone pay for my meal at the drive-thru. Yeah, that was profitable. That was profitable. Listen to me. That was popular for a while, is that whole pay it forward thing. And here's the thing with that. I may be jaded, but I'm like, hey, listen, it's great that you paid for my $7 Starbucks coffee, but if I'm in the Starbucks drive-thru line behind you, I don't really need $7. go to the grocery store and pay for some old woman and old woman's groceries that day or something like that. I don't need the $7 coffee for free. I've got $7 to be spending on Starbucks. Then I don't need you to pay for it. You know, maybe we need to revamp our efforts and go do something where our efforts will be a little bit more needed. But anyway, so we've talked about the giving. Let's read verses 5 and 6 here. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut up thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be therefore not like unto them. For your Father knoweth the things you have need of before you ask. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And it gives us the model prayer. But think about that. This is teaching us humility. When it comes to praying, there's a difference between public displays of spirituality and private communion with God. It used to really bother my mother whenever I would pray in public. We'd go out. Y'all, one of the things I miss about the United States of America, especially in the South, is the Mexican restaurants. Oh, I miss the Mexican restaurants. And anyway, when we'd go out to eat to Mexican restaurants, we would pray before we ate. Now, the chips and the salsa, they're prepaid. They're pre-prayed, rather. You don't have to pray for them. But you have to pray for your main courses. So we'd eat chips and salsa, and then when the main courses got there, we would pray and thank God for the food. And the prayer that I would pray is, I would just bow my head and say, "Dear God, thank you for this food." And then I'd start eating. And my mother would be like, "Well, you didn't say amen, and you didn't say in Jesus' name. Prayer's got to be in Jesus' name." I'm like, Colossians 3:17, everything I do is in Jesus' name. I don't have to say it. And why I got to say amen? You say amen. I said the prayer. But it bothered her. But I just don't like praying a long prayer in public. I think it can. I think it's borderline performative. And I remember one story at a banquet and it was a Christian event, where a fella was called on to lead the prayer before they ate, and he prayed for 6 full minutes. And then one gruff old man said, "Brother so-and-so, if we'd have known you needed to catch up on your prayer life, we wouldn't have asked you to pray for our food." The idea is there's no reason to say, to be that sanctimonious whenever you pray. We need to pray in secret. And there's a motif forming here. There's a theme. I don't want to live my best life now, as Joel Osteen puts it. I want my best life to come. So I'm not going to worry about practicing my religion to be seen of men. I'm not going to worry about praying to be seen of men. I'm not going to worry about the accolades of men. I'm going to reflect on the personal nature of prayer and spirituality. And I question the impacts of sharing such, quite frankly, on social media. That's just all there is to it. I think we can come across as virtue signaling if we put too much out on social media in that way. Let's see. Pay it forward has to be popular all the time. Do for those what they have no way to pay you back. Sorry, I can't see. Do for those that have no way to pay it back. Absolutely. Sword and pearl, we must give, but it's also important that we cover the shame of others, not blast it online. Absolutely. And sword and pearl, I 100% agree with that. And that's another aspect of what you were saying whenever you asked, do you find it cringy? You can tell, like Mr. Beast, whenever he did all of those, he did not blast their shame online for all to see. Like, he did tell their story, and there were brutal parts of their story. But yes, you are absolutely correct. I've seen some of these folks that whenever they go online and whenever they do these things, it really looks like they're having a go at the people they're helping. And that's kind of nasty. It really is. So yes, Sword and Pearl, I 100% agree with you on that. 100%. Scott Beck says, are silent prayers accepted? Many times if I'm by myself at a restaurant, I pray silently. Absolutely. Yes. And in fact, if the group that you're with, like if the restaurant is loud and stuff like that, which I'm fondly reminiscing about our time spent eating out at Mexican restaurants back home in the United States, they could get kind of loud and boisterous. So sometimes if there were like 10 or so of us, somebody would just say, okay, everybody, we're just going to bow our head and say a silent prayer individually. Because there was no need to try to have someone try to lead a prayer. You wouldn't be able to hear him anyway. Food prayers are different for everyone. We pray as soon as any food hits our table. No one way is for everyone. Well, Danny, I'm just letting you know that you don't have to pray for the chips and the salsa. I'm just telling you, you don't have to pray for the chips and the salsa. They're pre-blessed. Anyway, I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't joke around about that. No, absolutely. Yeah, do what you feel you need to do. If you need to pray for those chips and salsa, pray for them. Appetizers, they say. Well, you know, we don't really have to pray for appetizers, but you got to pray for the main course. It's just people are funny. Watching in India, good to have you on, David. And Village Fishing, good morning. And Valletta Rim says, this is so true, or that is so true. Well, thank you very much. All right, so we've talked about prayer in public versus the private sphere. We need to find us a prayer closet. Because one, even though, there's a humiliating is negative. There's a phrase here that's designed to keep us humble. You want to pray before God. You want to use these vain repetitions. You want to do all this, that, and the other. Do you think God needs all that? God doesn't even really need you to pray. He knows what you need before you even ask it. Why do you think that your eloquence is going to, what do you think your eloquence is going to add to the prayer? And wow, yeah. Yeah, okay, God, I get it. I get it. So, yeah, maybe we just be careful. That's all. That's it. And listen, this is one big one where I'm like, this is me. I'm speaking this podcast to myself. Because, I mean, look how much I'm on social media. And I think it's funny, if you go all the way back to the inception of my social media, you'll see how I've morphed and changed over the years. I don't put nearly the stuff on social media that I used to. Not about me, you know. But I used to, and I like putting pictures of my food on social media. I don't know, it's just something I like to do. But we need to focus on that personal nature with prayer. And we need to understand that the more we bring attention to it, the more performative it looks, and the less treasure we're laying up in heaven. Brandon Wild says, I need to start doing that. I don't know what he needs to start doing, but I'm glad he was convicted about something. All right, so let's talk about fasting and personal discipline. First off, when it comes to fasting, actually, let's just read 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. I say unto you, they have their reward, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Folks, I'm going to raise my hand. My name's Tony Brewer. I'm a human being, and I am prepping for a fast. It's going to be a liquid fast where I'm going to do water, bone broth, and a couple of protein shakes. So it'll be like around an 800 calorie a day liquid, and I'm planning on doing that fast. It is not for religious purposes, and y'all are probably going to hear about every stinking minute of it, because I'm going to be miserable, and I want you to be miserable too. But it ain't for religious purposes. I'm expecting to get nothing religious out of it. I just want to shrink. So the idea is, if you're fasting for health reasons, And you want to talk about it with your support people, by all means, do it. But if you're fasting for religious reasons and you tell anybody, you have totally undermined the purpose of the fast, and you won't get that benefit from it. And incidentally, some people ask, well, Tony, is it required by the New Testament to fast? It is not required. The admonition here is not telling you to fast. It's regulating fasting. So we're authorized to fast, but we're not commanded to fast. What subject you are teaching now, brother? Please just give a suggestion. We're just talking about doing things to be seen of men. We don't want things to be seen of men. Hello, brother from Hawaii. We're on a cruise ship headed back to our 50th anniversary, and we are eating our breakfast, fruits and desserts, and pray. I'm going to say, you better pray. Listen, you pray extra hard for that food on this cruise ship. Y'all be careful. Man, that's awesome. I cannot believe that's really kind of neat. I kind of count that as a little feather in my hat, a boon, if you will. Our show, folks, is being watched from a cruise ship. That's pretty cool. Does the devil hear our prayers? If we say them out loud, and he's listening, I'm 100% convinced. And don't make me try to prove it, because I don't know if I can. But Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, so you'll be okay. Hush your mouth, Valetta. I probably shouldn't joke around about that. That's a term of affection with people with whom I am friends. Whenever they say something that is very, very true, but not necessarily something that one would desire to hear, you say, you hush your mouth now. And that's a funny way of saying, I acknowledge that what you have said is true, and I have accepted it. I just don't like it. But yes, you're correct. I've done this before. I did a 1 month. Yes, it's a Southern saying. Yes, hush your mouth. I've done this before, by the way. A full 1 month of liquid fasting. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, but I've lost well over 100 pounds. I've gained some back and dropped some, but I'm 100 pounds lighter than what I was at my heaviest. I feel like I have missed some comments here. Bear with me. Brandon Wild. Hey, yeah, so you don't have to pray in silence. Here's the thing. What can the devil do? If you're standing with God, the devil can't mess with you. So don't worry about that. I hope I didn't cause you any undue anxiety. We're proud of you. Well, thank you. Yeah, I got to get down to about 280, 290 pounds. And I am like 380. So I got about 100 more pounds to go. But let's see. All right. I think I've got all of the stuff. I think I've got all of the comments settled. All right. Now, with the fasting, remember, incidentally, a really good thing to do every once in a while is to do a 10-day fast where you just do nothing but eat pulse, P-U-L-S-E. The King James says pulse. The Aramaic term is something like azoya, which is stuff grown from the ground. Look that up. Do it for your health. Like, it's really neat. You don't have to do it for religious purposes. But what you'll find is the more you fast and the more you, the longer you go and you can kind of focus on your body and be and live with your body being a little bit hungry, you start focusing on other things. And quite frankly, there's something that happens in your head that when you're in a fasted state, your brain is sharper. Like you have a clarity of thinking that you don't otherwise have. And that's probably God's way of getting you through the hard times. You know, think about a human being who, going through a famine. Well, he needs to be sharp. He needs to be focused because he needs to be able to think. He needs to be able to hunt, and he needs to not miss any opportunities whatsoever to find calories. And so God says, well, if you're going to be in a fasted state, I'm going to give you this little extra help where you're going to have this brain fog is going to be totally gone. Yeah, fasting resets the body and it takes out the trash that is piled up inside. So says Hey Hey Alabama and Scott Beck. And the Sword and Pearl says, Brandon Wild, I pray for protection over my prayers so the enemy can't hear. Yeah. And listen, here's the thing. Normally, I try to full out demystify the Bible. But look, there are spiritual warfare. There is spiritual warfare taking place, waging about us. Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then in that verse, I believe it's Ephesians 6:12. I might as well go over there and check it out. Ephesians 6:12. Oh, 6. Yeah, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 4. Four things that were mentioned in that verse, every one of them are supernatural. And we have that battle in the heavenly places, in the ethereal region. Now, we have angels, Hebrews chapter 2, read the end of it. The angels are ministering spirits sent to protect us, and Satan has his angels, as per Matthew 25, and evidently there's a spiritual battle going on, as per Ephesians 6. How all that works, I don't know, but my suggestion is pray for strength, pray for protection, pray for guidance, pray for wisdom, and pray that the enemy does not know your plans and cannot discern how you're going to be moving within the parameters of God's righteousness or God's kingdom and you living in righteousness. Just pray for protection and you'll get it. Okie dokie. So we've talked about the fasting. Just remember, you can fast for personal growth and discipline. But the minute you put it out there for the world to see, you lose all that. You just get your reward in the moment, which is why whenever I start this fast, y'all going to hear all about it, because I'm not concerned with the spiritual nature of it. I'm just wanting the health benefits of it. Okay. So we've talked about fasting, praying, and giving. We have to find our motivation. So what can we do? All right. Well, we need to be introspective before sharing or posting on social media. I go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's a good little proverb. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, I can't tell you. I'm not the Word incarnate. I cannot discern your heart. Not just miraculously, but you know what I can do? I can judge a tree by its fruits. And I will tell you this, and the data, this is backed up by data. Take a married couple. The more a husband puts on social media about how awesome their wife is, how pretty their wife is, how great their relationship is, all of that good stuff, the more they dote publicly on their spouse, I would say the less healthy that relationship is. And I said a husband, I'm a man, I teach from a male's perspective. Husband or wife, either one. The more people post about how awesome their life is, the less awesome their life is, generally speaking. We have to understand what our motivation are. We have to reflect before sharing. We have to guard our hearts, because out of our heart, well, flows the issues of life. People can read between the lines. People can peer into your heart by what you post on social media and by your actions. So we have to filter our decisions to share through the lens of scriptural wisdom. What am I communicating with these posts? There was a recent Babylon Bee post about the Church of Christ, and it was troubling seeing the hate and misinformation in the comments. Absolutely. Absolutely. And incidentally, let me see if I can get you a quick definition of terms here. Reaction formation. All right. Reaction formation is a defense mechanism. Let me see. All right. This is from verywellmind.com. What is reaction formation? Ooh, let me get a... Okay, there we go. All right. In psychology, reaction formation is a defense mechanism in which a person unconsciously replaces an unwanted or anxiety-provoking impulse with its opposite, often expressed in an exaggerated or showy way. A classic example is a young boy who bullies a young girl because on a subconscious level he's attracted to her. Consciously, he can't face the reality of his romantic feelings, so he expresses distaste or disdain toward her instead of appreciation. This is called reaction formation. The history of reaction formation, the concept of defense mechanisms, was initially proposed in the late 1800s by Sigmund Freud as a part of his psychoanalytic theory. While Freud started the discussion on defense mechanisms, his daughter, Anna Freud, advanced the idea further by proposing 10 important defense mechanisms in her seminal book, The Ego and the Mechanism of Defense, published in 1936. One of those 10 was reaction formation. So here's how you recognize reaction formation. Reaction formation is a way for the ego to defend itself against any thoughts or feelings that an individual finds unacceptable due to personal, familial, community, or societal standards. While this may protect the individual's self-esteem at the moment, This can be problematic over time. It suppresses one's authentic self, which harms one's well-being. So it could be that somebody, listen to how they talk about homosexuals. Like, it may be that they're so disgusted and talk so badly about people who are homosexual, and it may be because they are dealing internally with some shame of having same-sex attraction themselves. Now, that's not the case always. And reaction formation is not simply being vocal about something you disagree with. But the idea is with reaction formation is that you are acting in a way, you are reacting, you are forming your reactions based on an extreme disdain for how you feel. And for instance, if you are having an extreme disgust response to homosexuals who practice homosexuality, it could be that you just have an extreme disgust response because of its immoral nature. Or it could be that, well, you have some of those tendencies. So be introspective and look, do more research on this. But anyway, here's during adolescence, when people want to psychologically separate from their parents, a teenager expresses contempt for their parents to avoid acknowledging any feelings of love or affection toward them. So if you're a teenager, so like if you're rearing children and your daughter suddenly starts acting, my children never went through this, but if your daughter or son, either one, suddenly starts acting as if they have been possessed by demons and everything you do is stupid and they hate you and this, that, and the other, it's because they have these feelings that they want to separate from you and they want to be independent, but they are at odds with their core feelings of wanting to be dependent and not separate. And those two things are at odds, so then reaction formation kicks in, and they go way farther the other way, and instead of just in a healthy manner differentiating themselves from their family of origin, they burn bridges, they act contemptuously of the parents, and they treat them very poorly. It's a pathological thing. It's not good, reaction formation. But whenever it comes to the things that we post on social media, be introspective. Make sure that it's not reaction formation. You know, make sure that you're not contemptuous. That's not the right word that I'm looking for. You're not disgusting. You're not disgusted or fed up with your spouse. And so you're putting all kinds of positive stuff out there as a defense mechanism, okay? Tony, emojis aren't displaying on the bigger screen chat. At Dreamhouse Production sent two. Oh, cool. Dreamhouse Production, two thumbs up. Well, thank you. Yeah, those they're displaying. I see them now. Dreamhouse Production. Okay, cool. I haven't showcased any comments here. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're closing up. We're coming up on the end of the show. I'm going to put the tip jar up. Remember, you can support us monetarily at many different ways. Near churches, send money through that. Or you can do Buy Me a Coffee. www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. You can do Patreon. You get the cool thing about Patreon, you can just give them your information and they'll take $1 a month out. And that's awesome. No, Sword and Pearl, don't be sorry. It's all good. And then Substack, you can do $5 a month on Substack. But if you want to help us out, do what you're doing now. Like and share the content, interact with the content. And if you want a free subscription on Substack, we put this content out every day. Brandon Wild, have a great day and may God be with you all. Well, thank you so very much. So we've talked about this idea of reflecting before sharing. I want to end with we need to live authentically. We need to go back to Proverbs 27, 1 through 8, and make sure that in anything we do, we are not doing it to be seen of men. I want to lay up treasure in heaven. And the way we do that, the easiest, best way that I know of, is how we interact with other people. We lay treasures up in heaven when we do that. If we do it to be seen of men, we're not going to be laying any treasures up in heaven because we're getting our reward in the moment. And I guess that's really all I've got. Yeah. So let's be careful about how we interact on social media. Make sure we're not doing things just to signal our own virtue and to be seen of men and to have our reward. Let's make sure that we're doing things for God's sake. And then our reward will be much greater in heaven than it will be on earth. Folks, I hope every one of you will consider supporting us monetarily. An announcement for the store. There's been a hitch in our giddy up. I've been getting help from Shopify's, their people, their admin, to help get the store where it's supposed to be. And once we get that fixed, I thought it was going to be fixed yesterday, but it may take a couple of more days. It's just hard to communicate. And I could explain the problem, but I'm not even sure I understand the problem. Something has happened where the Shopify store that we have built has separated from the Shopify profile account. And we can't get into the store. So we're having to get help with that, and it's weird. But stay tuned, and we will have a store. This person that I have helping us, she's done a very good job on the store and the products and the stuff like that. And other than that, we'll just be on standby. I think that's all I've got. Thank you so much, Sword and Pearl. We really appreciate you. All right, this has been Tony Brew with Cogitations. You can catch these archives on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. And, like, subscribe, share. We will catch you on the flip side, folks. God bless.